And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he. Great to be with you again today. Hope you're enjoying the day. This is the day the Lord has made. We can be glad. We should be glad. And rejoice in it. Because after all, every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. And folks, that is the truth. It really is. It is the truth. You know, I every now and then I hear these statistics, even before COVID, about young people committing suicide. And that's, I mean, it's tragic. It's the kind of thing you hate to even contemplate. And now it's gotten worse, apparently, as a result of COVID and the isolation and not being able to go to school and sometimes being locked down in their homes has apparently created in the fragile minds of some of our young people this sense of hopelessness and despair that leads them to kill themselves. And, you know, it just tells me that we as Christians have got to get the word out to everybody we know. We've got to let them know, particularly our young people know, life is never hopeless. You are never helpless. Because God is there and he loves you and will help you and strengthen you and lead you and guide you, no matter how difficult the situation might seem to be. You know, the fact that we have these spikes to me is an indication of the utter failure of psychiatry and psychologists who are supposed to treat people with these kinds of problems. But they never seem to be quite capable of healing anyone or curing anyone. All they can do is treat someone and manage the illness. But, you know, God is capable of delivering you completely from whatever ails you. I am a living witness. I have too many times seen God heal people miraculously and been myself miraculously healed. And I know that God is able. So, for our young people, and some of them are listening to me right now because as I travel the country, I meet them. I want you to know, don't let the culture convince you that life is so sad and so sorrowful and so despairing that life is not worth living. That's a lie out of the pit of hell. You know, one of the things I love to do, first of all, it just does my heart good, especially good when I go someplace and some young person comes up to me and says, oh, you really touch me, you know, 13, 14, 15 years old. I mean, look, folks, that really just does it for me because, yeah, I know I'm a much older adult, obviously, And I know I'm preaching primarily to adults. I care about those young people in the audience, but the fact that I reach them to me is just a testament to the goodness of God. And the fact that they relate to me is a testament to the goodness of God. And it just thrills me. I got a call not too long ago of a Christian school asking me to come and speak at their graduation. And first of all, I have to always make sure that these things will fit my schedule. And of course, once I determine that, then the question is, you know, well, how much does he require for a fee? And I sent the message back to talk to young people, nothing. You give me whatever you think you can or you think is fair. But I am happy to talk to young people. I consider that a privilege. And I've had that opportunity on numerous occasions, and nothing thrills me more because we are handing our country off to these young people. They're the ones, if Jesus tarries, they're the ones who are going to come into leadership roles. They're the ones who are going to come into the roles of influence, and we want them to be ready. We want them to be loaded for bear. We want them to know who they are and to have confidence in God and in themselves as representatives of God, and just be able to stand flat-footed, toe-to-toe with anything that comes against them, anything that comes against the Word of God, and just cast that thing down. So So I am very, very excited about the future for our young people, as if we as the church, we as Christians, will speak into their lives and encourage them. So I'm looking forward to that engagement. I'll give you all more details. Some of you will be in the area where I'll be speaking, and I'll give you more details as we get closer to that. But I'll tell you, just nothing does my heart better than being able to speak to young people. And by the way, also because I know the devil is after them. He sees them as weak and immature and easily influenced, and he wants them badly because he figures if he can get them with him early on, he can not only ruin their lives, he can ruin the lives of lots of other people over a long period of time through them. And I'm just not giving our young people up to the devil. I am not surrendering this generation to Satan. I don't care what they say about them, the millennials and the Gen Xers and all the categories they come up with. I believe that we can raise up a generation as great as the one that went off and fought World War II at the age of 17 and 18 and 19 years old and prove themselves to be heroes and warriors for freedom. And we think about those folks, but to me, they are the model for what all of our young people in this country should be. Lovers of God, lovers of family, lovers of freedom, lovers of hope and committed to personal responsibility for their own lives. That's the kind of generation that will take this country forward. And that's the kind of generation we need to raise up. So now, having said that, because I just really wanted to talk a little bit about our young people today, because I keep hearing these statistics about, for example, what closed schools has done to our young people, that apparently has had a devastating impact on them. But we know that impact would be far less if they knew their God, if they knew how much God loves them, and they could be in fellowship with him and find their hope and their vision for life in him. They wouldn't be committing suicide. They wouldn't be lying around depressed. They would say, look, this is an opportunity for me to be in the Word. This is an opportunity for me to pray more. It's an opportunity for me to talk to my friends who are more available and accessible now, to talk to them about God. So, you know, even in the worst of circumstances, there is opportunity, and we've got to learn to exploit it for good, right? Now, this is not so hopeful, but this is the world we're facing right now. I do want to acknowledge Officer Jesse Madsen of Tampa, who was killed yesterday when he veered his car in front of a driver who was apparently driving the wrong way, his car out of control. And this brave officer, Jesse Madsen, actually put his car in front of the out-of-control car in order to stop this car from hurting anyone else. And the officer lost his life in doing so. The driver of the out-of-control vehicle lost his life as well. But, folks, this is why I am so vehemently opposed to this hate the police movement that the Black Lives Matter and Antifa and all these leftists have engendered in this country. These are some of the bravest and most admirable and honorable people in this nation. And all of them are, for the most part, with rare exceptions, are out there doing a job that requires that they put their lives on the line. And this man sacrificed his life to save the lives of others. It was an explicit decision. And I just want to honor him and honor all of you law enforcement officers out there right now. God bless you. We love you. We're praying for you. Get home safe tonight.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson. When a liberal who is a former Democratic advisor warns that the nation is headed towards a totalitarian state, we need to pay attention. Naomi Wolf has served as an advisor to the Bill Clinton re-election campaign in 1996 and recently voted for Joe Biden, a decision she is starting to regret. She has been posting warnings on Twitter for months, but she reached a larger audience of conservatives when she appeared on Tucker Carlson Tonight. She told the host that this is not a partisan thing. In fact, she said it transcends everything you and I might disagree or agree on. That should bring together left and right to protect our Constitution. She went on to describe the impact the lockdowns have had. The state has now crushed businesses, kept us from gathering in free assembly to worship as the First Amendment provides, is invading our bodies, which is a violation of the Fourth Amendment, restricting movement, fining us in New York State. She added that the violations go on and on. Naomi Wolf has been a student of totalitarian regimes and wrote a book years ago outlining the 10 steps that would-be tyrants always take when they want to close down a democracy. She explained that the trend is always the same. Whether they're on the left or the right, they do the same 10 things. And she added that she never expected to see this happening in America in her lifetime. Perhaps the most ominous statement was her belief that America has now arrived at step number 10. That would be the suspension of the rule of law. She sees it as a merger of corporate power and government power, which is really characteristic of fascism in the 20s. She believes it is time for America to wake up, and I agree. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
Go deeper on topics like you hear on Viewpoints by visiting pointofview.net. Pointofview.net.
Hey, it's Michael Woolworth with Bible League International. You know, it was 110 degrees in Ethiopia, Africa. Hundreds had gathered for Sunday worship outdoors, and I learned that some had walked an hour or more just to be there. Afterwards, I met Cademan, hunched over a table and frantically copying scriptures from an Amharic language Bible to a lined piece of paper. Then his face turned sad as he closed the Bible and handed it back to its rightful owner. Only a few in that church to have a Bible. You see, Cademan loves the Lord, leads his family, is faithful at worship, but he's never read a single verse in his own Bible because he does not own one. While we in America can open our Bibles every day, 9 of 10 Christians in parts of Africa are denied God's Word. And that's why Bible League is focused right now on Africa, the place in the world where Christianity is growing in the greatest numbers. A Bible can be sent for $5. $50 will send 10. Learn how you can be a blessing by calling 800-YES-WORD. 800-YES-WORD or by visiting sendbiblesnow.org. That's sendbiblesnow.org.
Brian Fisher here. Democrat Tulsi Gabbard tells us where to find true cancel culture if we're looking for it. A college in Georgia discovers that the entire United States was created as a free speech zone. How Joe Biden is feminizing our military while China is masculinizing theirs. And Disney declares two more classic movies off limits for children. Next on Focal Point.
The Awakening.
The Awakening.
Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Well, folks, I'm sure that all of you are shocked to know that Disney has canceled Dumbo and canceled Peter Pan and canceled The Aristocrats. And who knows what else they're canceling, because apparently these movies no longer fit. They no longer meet the woke standards of racial sensitivity. And I have no idea. I think I saw Dumbo as a kid. Not sure about Peter Pan or The Aristocrats, although Peter Pan does ring a bell. So I think I may have watched Peter Pan as a child. I don't remember anything in Peter Pan that I found offensive or shocking. And you know, it's as if they are saying that these movies turned our children into racists and sexists and whatever else you can think of. I know I watched Dumbo. I mean, that's the elephant whose ears let him fly, right? You know, and listen. The only thing I remember is the flying part, because, you know, I love the idea of flying. No, I don't mean in airplanes, folks. I mean, look, I don't want to be a bird, but oh my goodness, if I could fly, ooh, wow. You know, so now listen, folks, now don't laugh at me too much, okay? So when I was a kid, I was living in foster care at the time, and I don't know why I was able to do this. I don't know whether my foster parents were outside or what was going on, but I had two friends in the house. It was a little, you know, little two-bedroom house. You know, you go up the set of stairs, there's one room on the right side and one bedroom on the left side, and that was it. And, you know, I would only be guessing to think how many steps there were. It might have been 20, 25 steps maybe to the second floor. Yeah, pretty standard. But so my friends and I were over with playing Superman, you know. And I have it in my mind, I couldn't be more than about 5 or 6 years old, but I've got it in my mind that, you know, if you can just get your cape right, get off to a good start, you know, you can fly just like Superman can fly. So I went up to the top of the steps. I told my friends, look, I said, now I'm going to jump off the top of the steps. And I remember this too, folks. And I'll tell you why in a second. Well, you say, well, how can you remember that at 5 or 6 years old? I'll tell you why in a second. So I told my friends, I said, now look, and when I jump off, I had my little red cape on, you know, I said, when I come off the steps, I said, I'm going to fly down. I said, open the door, because, you know, the steps came down right between the living room and what you could have called the dining room, but two small rooms on either side. I said, now what you all open the front door, because what I'm going to do when I fly down, I'm going to turn here and I'm going to fly out the door and fly down to the store. Okay, once I get my start, I'll make the turn at the bottom of the steps, and you know, I want the door open so I can fly straight out and fly. Say, wait a minute, what kind of kid were you? And so, because, you know, I'm just thinking, well, if Superman could do it, I mean, thank God I didn't decide to jump out of a window. I guess there must have been something restraining me. So I got up to the steps, 1, 2, 3, and I jumped. And folks, when I hit the bottom of those steps, my feet hit the ground and my knees came up and hit the bottom of my chin. Didn't knock me out or anything, but it hurt. And I thought, you know what? I don't know what Superman's secret is, but obviously I don't quite have it. So I gave up. I gave up my hopes of flying like Superman. But I'll tell you something. The idea of flying has stayed with me. You know, I see those jet packs on people's backs and I think, wow, man, that's got to be great. You know, if I go on vacation, they've got that, what do they call that? A sky, you know, where they put the... Put the kite on your back, and you know the boat takes off, and your kite gets caught in the wind, and then you fly up. Oh man, that is oh my goodness gracious, you know. And my wife would be sitting in the boat looking at me, going, "What is wrong with you?" Say, well, listen, I couldn't pull off my Superman act, but I could at least fly this kite for the time being. So I mean, how did I even get off on this stuff? But Disney is apparently getting rid of Dumbo, because Dumbo, the flying elephant, Disney is apparently getting rid of Dumbo. So I don't know what Dumbo did, but apparently Dumbo did something wrong. And Peter Pan, I don't know what he did wrong, but Peter Pan's out. And the Aristocrats, I'm not even familiar with that. I mean, I've heard of it, but I don't really know much about that. But folks, we are living in some strange times, aren't we? With all the problems we are having, this woke culture has just taken people. You know, here again, to me, it is like a cult, isn't it? It really is like a kind of cult. And everybody's trying to prove that they belong in the cult. No matter how crazy the requirements of the cult are, I'm willing to do it because I'm a member of the cult, and I want everybody to recognize me as a member of the cult. And you know, Disney had the nerve to say that they don't lean left or right. Yeah, okay. If you believe that one, I got a bridge in Brooklyn that I'll sell you cheap. They don't lean left or right. Now, folks, Disney, Walt Disney, I have to believe. I don't know that much about Walt Disney, but I have to believe the man who created such wonderful family-oriented entertainment for children would have to be turning over in his grave, if you'll excuse the expression, at what Disney has become. Disney is a moral sewer. It really has become a moral sewer. And you know, I should have seen this. My family and I went on vacation about, oh my goodness, this had to be 20 years ago. Oh yeah, it was probably about 25 years ago. Might have been a little longer than that. And we were there, you know, walking around Disney and, you know, kind of enjoying everything. And we went into this theater. You know, they have those theaters where they show you movies and, you know, you see different things. I went in there and they had somebody talking to the kids. And I looked at that person, wasn't there but a moment. I told my wife, I said, that's a lesbian. My wife looked at me and said, how do you know that? I said, just watch. And you could just tell the effort to act like and sound like a man. It was a woman. The effort to act like and sound like a man, that it was just obvious to me the moment I walked in the theater. And we didn't stay there long because I just thought, okay, I don't know what that's about. Guess who that lesbian was? Ellen DeGeneres. Right. Disney, as I'm sure you all know, has made it apparently now a pattern for hiring convicted pedophiles. No, folks, I'm not making it up. There have been more than one instance. There has been more than one instant in which Disney has hired people, and they caught some flack for it, but they did it anyway. People who are convicted pedophiles, child molesters. One was Victor Salva. He's a convicted child molester. And they hired him to produce one of their films. In fact, some of you may have heard of the film, but the film was Powder. I've heard of it. And they also hired a child molester to work on a kid's show. The guy was Brian Peck, found guilty of lewd acts against a child and other things, which I will not read, even though, you know, it wouldn't, let's put it this way, it's not profane, but still it's a little bit too explicit for me to read. But so not only lewd acts against a child, but other things as well. And Disney hired them both. And I think there have been some other cases too. You know, I've said this before. You know, we could kind of laugh and make fun of this cancel culture. But the really sick part of this is, and I've made this point before, but it's worth making again and again because it helps us to understand what we're up against. We're dealing with people who have completely rejected God's morality. They don't accept that. And yet, because they were made by Almighty God, there is a moral mechanism on the inside of them. In other words, they have a sense of a moral conscience. But when they reject God, then they have to create their own. And in the moral conscience of the godless, hiring a pedophile to work with children or to entertain children is moral. Okay? But allowing Dumbo, because the movie may have some sort of, based on the new woke morality, may have some sort of images or whatever that people see as sexual stereotyping. I don't have any idea what they're referring to. I'd have to watch the movie again, try to figure that out. But that we cannot have. We cannot have that. That's immoral. That's degrading. We cannot do that. Dumbo must go. But hiring a pedophile, well, of course, because we're sensitive. We're enlightened. And of course we would hire a pedophile. Of course. Peter Pan has to go. But pedophiles come right on. I mean, that's what happens when people become their own god and create their own morality. And folks, that's what we're up against. But we're more than equal to the task. Back in a moment.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn,
Don Wildman.
It was a borrowed car. Mine was in the shop. I had looked at the gas gauge earlier, and it registered half full. But there I was, sitting nearly directly under a traffic light at one of the busiest intersections in town. I had checked the motor out pretty good and decided that the trouble was either a bad fuel pump or just plain out of gas. I raised the hood on the car as a signal to those behind me that I was having trouble. It certainly wasn't an ideal location to have car trouble, but the car was too heavy for me to push out of the line of traffic by myself. I left it unattended long enough to make a phone call to the garage and inform them of my troubles. They said they would send a wrecker immediately. After I returned to the car, I decided to give it a try to see if I was indeed out of gas. There was a gas station just directly across the street, so I walked over and asked the attendant if he had a gas can that I could borrow to get some gas in to take to the car, which he could see. He told me he didn't have one, that someone had borrowed his and had not returned it. I then asked him if he had anything that I could carry some gas in, that my car was stranded in the middle of the street, as he could see, and I figured it just might be out of gas. Well, I got the cold shoulder treatment all the way. He said he didn't have a thing to carry gas in and said it in such a way that I got the message. I saw a water can and several empty oil cans around, but I decided that if he didn't want to help, I wouldn't try to force him. I walked back to the car and stood outside to wait for the wrecker. I guess I waited something like 15 to 20 minutes. Several hundred cars passed me at that intersection. They were all makes and models. Some expensive cars passed, and some that were more in my class drove by. Nearly all the drivers gave me a look. They were mixed looks. Some didn't like it because I was blocking traffic. Others looked as if they saw a man who was having car trouble, but it wasn't of any interest to them. I watched them all pass me by, and in my mind was a thought, isn't anybody going to offer to help? I must admit I got a totally negative reply to my self-question. Nobody was interested in the least way in helping me. Well, being a Mississippian, I thought at least someone would stop to help. I was in the hospitality state, and I was a native of it. By and by, I noticed a very old model car, which appeared as if it might stop running at any moment, and it began to pull alongside as if it was going to stop. I noticed that the man who was driving the car was a black gentleman. He and his wife and family, about 5 children, were in the car. He got out. I saw he was dressed in clothes full of holes and patches. He came up and spoke. "Anything I can do to help?" he asked. Well, I explained the situation to him and thanked him for his offer. But the wrecker was on his way, and really there wasn't much he could do to help. But as he drove away, I thought of the parable of the Good Samaritan. Indeed, the truths that the Galilean carpenter taught are enforced by the experiences of everyday life.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
The Awakening.
The Awakening.
Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Don't you love those stories that Don Wildman tells? I tell you, I just love hearing them. I sit here during the break and listen to those and just smile, and they're just really wonderful. God has used Don Wildman marvelously, and this network is a testament to how God has used him, and that wisdom is still pouring forth. The number here is 888-589-8840. I want to start taking your calls. I want to get a couple more comments in, and then I want to hear what you have to say about the issues of the day. Now, look, Disney wouldn't be important, except it's just indicative of a general decay of the culture. The entire sports industry has lost $14 billion this last year, and I think much of that is because they insulted so many Americans because they're part of the degeneration of the culture, denigrating our flag and our national anthem and, you know, once again, participating in all this woke stuff. But, you know, it gets worse than that. It gets right down to where the rubber meets the road. But this is also what makes me hopeful. Now, you may be thinking, well, wait a minute. How can you – what do you mean? How does this make you hopeful? Because I just believe that they are overreaching themselves, and they're going to cause people who might normally be on their side to say, wait a minute, I can't. These people are just – they're nuts. They're crazy. They don't seem to have any standards that would even pass the test of sanity. So, for example, here's another one. We are facing a spike in violent crime in our country as a result of last year, the riots, the cuts in police funding, the attacks on police, both physical and verbal, that have discouraged, I think, a lot of people from applying to become police officers because they're thinking, I mean, it's one thing to be willing to serve. It's another thing to serve people who hate you. Who needs that? Now, I'm not saying that there aren't people who will still serve as police officers or that they shouldn't. I think they should. But you also can't deny that there may be people who say, you know, I love the idea of serving, but I don't like the idea of people spitting on me and throwing things at me and acting like by putting on the uniform, I'm automatically a racist, I'm automatically a bad person. So as a result, we're having a difficult time recruiting the number of police officers we need in most jurisdictions. There are some exceptions, but most jurisdictions are having a difficult time filling their billet. And then along comes the Biden administration. And in addition to the problems we're having at the border right now, you know, this time last year, here again, this is a number that I heard in one report, and it struck me even as a little bit odd, but because the number, and so I'm not absolutely certain of the number, but we have over 100,000 arrests this year, and the number of arrests that we have, as reported by one commentator, is over 10 times what we had last year in its entirety, and we're at this point poised to have over 1 million people entering the country illegally. 1 million people. Now, so you probably heard those numbers, but here's a number you may not have heard. Do you know that 25 to 32%, I should say, of the people in prison in our country are illegal aliens? Now, I've read two sources. One source says 26%, another source says 32%. You can split the difference there, but I'll take the lower number. I mean, do you realize 25%, 500,000, 26%, 500,000 plus of the people in prison are illegal aliens? They don't talk about that when they talk about how many people we have in prison, the fact that many of them are illegal aliens who are convicted felons. Well, here's the thing you probably have not heard. Joe Biden is refusing to deport illegal aliens who are released from prison after having committed rape, armed robbery, and a number of violent crimes. They are being released into the streets of America, and Joe Biden's administration is refusing to deport them, saying they will not pursue deportation for illegal aliens being released from prison after serving hard time. Now, I just mentioned the spike in murders, the spike in crime in our country this past year, and they're now exacerbating the situation by releasing more violent criminals into our country. So you have to ask again, well, what in the world is that all about? Folks, it can only be about one thing. It can only be about destabilizing the country to set it up for a major transformation to their liking under their leadership and guidance. I can't explain why would any president not deport people who are already in jail and in most cases for having hurt Americans. Why would they not deport those folks who've already done time for violent crimes against Americans? Why would they not deport them? Obviously, There's no interest in the safety and well-being of the American people, obviously. And they're claiming we don't have open borders, but they're saying, but we don't have closed borders. Well, either they're closed or they're open. So you know what? This all tells me that we're going to reach a tipping point here where the American people are going to say, you know what? Enough. We cannot allow these people to serve us in office because they don't care about us. And they simply lack any kind of common sense or basic decency about protecting the American people. Look, folks, America First is not some kind of extremist, nationalist, racist, whatever, a slogan that is meant just us and nobody else. Or we want to live, everybody else can die. It's not America First is the common sense principle that we must take care of our own people first. You know, there used to be a saying that you would hear often, charity begins at home, then spreads abroad. And nobody ever thought of that. Man, that's a racist thing to say. We take care of our own people. We get our own country in order. We strengthen our own country. We're in a better position to help others. The American people are generous and kind and decent and all of that. And yet, America First is somehow an evil slogan. So now what we got is America Last. How in the world can we as a nation help anyone else if we ourselves are not strong and prosperous and stable? And the policies that we're seeing implemented are intended to make us weak and destabilize us. I tell you, folks, mark my words. We are going to see a backlash in America like nothing we've ever seen before because these folks are now full bore. This last election has made them think that the American people want their woke culture and want their socialism and their Marxism and their open borders, and they're going to find out that the American people don't want that at all. They just didn't, they weren't informed of what was really coming because MSNBC and the Marxist Socialist No Brains channel and CNN, the Communist News Network, and the rest of these alphabet networks are simply not going to give them information. They're going to propagandize. They are arms of the Democrat state. And so people, they're not getting the information. But when the stuff starts to affect them, when you've got a crowd, as one woman was reporting, you got a crowd of illegal immigrants on your property and the authorities are not going to do anything about it. And you've got cartels marking people as to whether they may be raped or murdered or not. Have you heard that? Yeah, they're putting certain wristbands on people by the cartels to say whether the person is protected or not. This person may be killed. This person may be raped. This person may be put into human trafficking. And we've got an administration now that is allowing all of that to come across the border in droves. I'd say what? We're going to see an awakening come 2022 because I think the American people are going to speak loud and clear. Back in a moment.
American Family Radio newscasts are now available as a podcast.
I'm Rusty Pugh.
I'm Steve Jordahl.
Didn't catch the full story? Listen to the podcast.
I'm Chris Woodward.
I'm Chad Groening.
Didn't have the radio on at the top of the hour? Listen to the podcast.
I'm Charlie Bunch.
And I'm Fred Jackson.
Get accurate news from a Christian perspective whenever you want it with the American Family News podcast. You can also sign up for our daily news brief. Visit onenewsnow.com.
Insanity seems rampant in our nation. Reason seems to have no voice in the marketplace. The American Family Association offers a tool by which you can be heard. The AFA Action Alert is an email opportunity to contact directly our representatives, entertainment sponsors, even corporations, saying we see them, offer a better direction, and when appropriate, acknowledge a job well done. Sign up today at afaaction.net.
Maybe you've heard about MediShare and you know what it is. It's the affordable alternative to health insurance. But you've wondered, can I really save a significant amount of money on my monthly healthcare bills? And the answer is an emphatic yes, you can. You could save a lot of money. Whether it's just for you or for an entire family, MediShare has an option for you. In fact, the typical family saves $500 a month switching to MediShare. And it really is the gold standard when it comes to healthcare sharing. You get free telehealth services, you get a huge network of doctors, you get great customer support, and you get the sense of security that comes from being a part of 400,000 people who share not just each other's medical bills, but purpose too. MediShare is a community of Christians who pull together and pray for each other, which is very refreshing right now. If you want more info, it's so simple. You can get a price within 2 minutes. Call 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE.
Sometimes daily routines can become lifeless chores. This is Focus on the Family Minute. Sherry Harney found purpose in one of her daily routines, the carpool.
And I remember there was a time that it seemed like for a season I was the one that was the driver with one of our boys and their friends. And I was driving all the time, and Kev said, "How come you're driving all the time?" And you know, and there weren't other mothers at that point available to drive. And I told Kevin, I said, "You don't understand, these are junior high, you know, ages." I said, "I love driving them because I'm listening to what the conversation is. I'm getting a better pulse on what our son is involved in." And when I said that to Kevin, that made total sense to him.
Look for that deeper purpose in some of your most daily routines. It could change your perspective. More from Sherry at FamilyMinute.org.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
The number is 888-589-8840. Well, we put a lot on the table today. There's even more to talk about, but let's come right to your calls. I want to give you all a chance to join in the conversation. So let's go to Tom in Texas. Tom, welcome to the program.
Yes, sir.
Yes, Tom, you are on.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you just fine.
I love you, man. I love your show. I just thank you for keeping us all from going insane. And you can take the best dog in the world, you know, a dog that wouldn't hurt a flea, but you corner him up and keep messing with him, he'll bite you. And that's what they're trying to do to the people, you know. And what I want to know is when all this breaks loose, all these murders and rapists and all that start, you know, destroying the country and everything, Where are they going to hide at? Because it's not going to make no difference if you're a Democrat or Republican or whatever. A rapist and a murderer, they're going to do their thing, man. And one other thing, I think they need to drug test all of them people up there, just making all these laws and all this, because I think they're smoking them left-handed cigarettes.
Hey, Tom, thank you so much for the call. You know, boy, I tell you, I've got the best audience in the world because, you know, Tom, I've never really mentioned this on the program, and I want to get right back to the calls, but I've often thought about this. How many of these people are high? Because, you know, that the left believes in getting high, and that may be part of it, too. They just get high and just come up with the most squirrely, crazy things you can think of and laugh about it because they're doing it through some cocaine or marijuana fog that their brain is in. So you brought up a very, very good point, Tom. I don't know. I think the last thing we need in our country is legalization of more drugs. I think we're seeing the evidence of too many of our officials being high based on the policies that are being issued out of Washington, D.C. Thank you for the call. Let's go to, is that Okami in Ohio? Did I get that right? Is it Okami?
Yes, sir.
All right, Okami, welcome. Thank you for calling.
So I'm going to save you a little bit of time on research.
Okay.
I've got the answers on why some of those movies are being canceled and or the warning are popping up in the beginning of it.
Okay.
So as far as Dumbo, if you remember the crows that actually helped teach Dumbo how to fly?
Vaguely.
So the crows, they give Dumbo the feather. They tell Dumbo that as long as he's got the feather, he'll be able to fly. They're kind of a stereotypical reference to African-American males.
Okay.
So that's with Dumbo. Then you've got...
Okay, now, and just quickly, I mean, I assume you mean what, their intonation, the way they talk, there's something that tells you that's the implication?
Correct. The way that they talk, some of the language types that they use, the accents.
Okay. So, all right. I got you. Go on, Tom, because we don't have forever to do this, but go on to the next one.
Yep. So Peter Pan, you've got the Native Americans.
I meant to say Okami. Forgive me for that, but go ahead.
Yep, no problem. You get the Native Americans in Peter Pan, specifically the What Makes the Red Man Red song. That's probably what they're targeting as far as that one. And then with what's the other one called? The one with the cats.
Aristocats?
Yeah. Aristocats. That one, I'm not 100% sure on this one. It's a little harder to pinpoint this one. But some of the alley cats might be... what they're targeting on that one. So the alley cat, some of them are probably also stereotypical towards other minorities as well.
Okay. All right. Okami, I've got to go. But look, I appreciate you pointing those things out because you're probably right that those are the things that they find offensive. Now here's the only problem I have with that. So if they had used some bird and given the bird a typical Irish accent and had the bird acting in a way that was intended to maybe suggest a leprechaun or something, would that have been equally offensive? Because see, to me, neither way it's not offensive either way. And the other thing I'd add is this. Every time I see one of these stupid rap singers with all of the down hip language and the, you know, half pronounced words, to me, they are the worst stereotyping people some of the worst I've ever seen, because basically that's supposed to be what it looks like to be authentically black. And to me, they're just authentically buffoons. But I don't think that you ought to ban them or cancel them. So, you know, but I hear your point. Thank you for the call, Okami. Appreciate that. Let's go to Andrew in Louisiana. Andrew, welcome.
Hi, Bishop Jackson. First off, I love to hear that story about you and being the kid and wanting to fly. Thinking. Something just resonates. I'm like, that's very fitting. And, with Stan, your organization, and thinking America and eagles and flying, I'm like, that's all so fitting.
I appreciate
funny
that.
You mentioned Don, too, because I love listening to his little segment. And I actually just finished his book, Our Call to Faithfulness. And one of the last ones was Why Eagles Fly and Chickens Flutter. And I'm thinking, you just summed it up quite well. So I just love hearing about, you know, your life story. But actually on that note too, I was thinking, that his, statement is, you know, our call is to faithfulness, not to be successful. And even in this hard time, you know, it's reminiscent of, the judgment on Jerusalem. But prophets, you know, like Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Daniel, they were still faithful despite the country's overwhelming, you know, population, their decisions, but, you know, God is only show himself faithful, and especially through his faithful ones. So people like you and all the people over there at AFA and AFR are just such good, hopeful leaders in, you know, informing us and equipping us and everything. And so I wanted to thank you for that.
Well, thank you, Andrew.
And it's funny that you mentioned the cancel stuff and thinking one guy, Brian Peck. It was funny that you said that, and then I heard you say his name. I unintentionally discovered him and others that actually he came from Nickelodeon, which had several or at least a few hired or eventually got fired pedophile convicted, you know, sex offenders. And the main big one that he worked with, who very likely looks like he did some bad stuff, is still not convicted. But, you know, and also things like Dumbo is like, wait, elephant, that's a Republican sign. Is that supposed to be a jab at them or something? You know, all these little things.
Okay, Andrew. That's the note in which I'm going to let you go. But thank you so much for the call. Yeah, that's interesting. And, you know, it feeds into this whole idea that many of us have talked about, the slippery slope. Once you take away God's rules with regard to human sexuality, then where do the next rules land? What are the appropriate restrictions? And see, I think that ultimately the whole LGBTQ thing becomes LGBTQP, and pedophiles gets included. I think that's where it's going, because they don't have any inherent standards. They just make them up. But thank you for the call, Andrew. Very insightful. And thank you for the encouraging words. Let's go to Tom in Ohio. Tom, welcome.
Hey, Bishop. How are you?
Doing great, Tom. Thank you.
Hey, I'm glad to talk to you. Yeah, just a quick comment. Do you think this could ever get to the point where the congressman and the president, when they're enacting all this legislation and all these executive orders, do you think they could ever have consequences of treason back on them if something, you know, something really bad goes awry in the United States? And that's all I got to say.
Well, Tom, thank you for the call. You know what? Let me get another one in before I respond to that, because, you know, treason, unfortunately, is something that is subject, it seems, to cultural pressure. And I think right now, if you are conservative, you might likely be called a treason, such as President Trump was called on numerous occasions. And if you're a leftist, you're not likely to be called treasonous, even if you sell out the country to communist China. Jenny in Mississippi. Jenny, welcome.
Hello. Thank
Hi,
you.
Jenny. Hi.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you just fine.
Okay. What I'm going to say is pretty profound.
Let me just tell you, Jenny, because we're getting close to the end of the program, I would just urge you to say it as quickly as you can.
Okay. There's a weekly TV show on The Bachelor, and I heard about it, but I don't watch it, but they were actually rubbing butter on each other in the fantasy suite, and then they got in the bathtub. Now, our country, something's wrong here when we are having trouble deciding the gender of a plastic potato, but this type of thing is allowed on TV.
Yeah, you know what, Jenny, but thank you for the call, Jenny. I will try not to remember that image. But look, what I said at the opening of the program, or near the opening of the program, folks, when people reject the morality of God, they've got to make up their own. And whoa, the stuff that the human mind comes up with and calls moral versus the stuff it then decides is immoral, it's usually just a reflection of people's own passions and perversions. That's all. Well, that's going to do it for today, folks. Be back with you again tomorrow. In the meantime, remember, we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.